Good morning. Welcome to Jenkins Church. Do we have any first-time visitors with us this morning?
A back row. He must be Presbyterian from somewhere. So welcome.
Okay. Good to have you with us. Anyone else? We'd like to have everyone register their attendance, if they would, this morning. I don't know if the books have been passed out. If you would, sign your name, and if you're the first one to sign the book, if you would put the date and the time up in the corner. At this time, we'd also like to take a look at our announcements. They're printed in your bulletin. We ask that you read those and see what activities are going on this week. And also, do we have any announcements from the congregation? Susan?
Tonight we have a group visiting the church from Bethel College, Renaissance, a musical group. I think there are 50 plus in the group. They'll be singing. I'm not sure how many are support, but there are about 40 singers. They're completing their spring tour. They've been to New York, or they are in New York now, coming back south. They'll be here Saturday night, and they will be at Tusculum Church on Sunday morning. Our responsibility is to feed them supper. We have that plan. You don't have to cook. We also need to house approximately 30 of them. We have 20 plus names on the list, but we need housing for 8 or 10, 7, 12, it could be 30 plus. And the rest of them will be staying with family, because many of the families are from the Nashville area, Nashville and the surrounding area. And so we just call your attention to that situation. First, we encourage you to come and give your support to Renaissance. Saturday night is not a good night to have events in town, in this town, I know, for some reason. Also, there's an event going on at Christ Family Church down the road. There's also an event going on at Knowlesville Baptist Church for the youth or the middle school and children that night. But we still encourage you, if at all possible, come and give your support to Renaissance. We've invited other churches around to come and participate. And I've heard them before, so you know, I don't want to be the only one here. That would be a joke, would it? Y'all take it seriously. I hope I'm not. So we need your support. They're a great group. You will not be disappointed. They do bluegrass. They do gospel. They do something from the 50s. Who grew up in the 50s? One or two of us? We're around then, and they do and stuff. It moves your heart, but it brings back fond memories of days gone by, but some stuff in the future, too. Good gospel. Southern gospel, but other, too. It's a great group. You just, Katie Shepcott, so a cousin. So I know they'll be here before, and they're great. You've heard them before. You've heard them three or four times, and they're really good, and I look forward to going again. Other activities, Sam's got activities Friday and Saturday you might want to call your attention to.
And I think Kelly has something, too.
The Grace Team's having our second annual fundraiser, the yard sale Friday and Saturday from 7 to 4 each day. We have about a $5,000 to $6,000 expense budget every year that the church has graciously consented to sponsor us in our mission work. But the yard sale can help us to offset that by just bringing your junk. Last year we raised $5,200. So that can almost offset what would have to be spent out of the budget on your junk. So if you got something that you don't want, you don't need, Nancy and I went through our house several weeks ago, and we had a yard sale at our house yesterday, and I still got 2 truckloads left over. So I know you got junk. So if you think you can get rid of some of it, bring it, and it'll help the mission budget of the church.
Kevin. Any other announcements? Prayer requests. Do we have any prayer requests from the congregation?
Prudence Hall moved to Adams Place, 231 North, out of Murfreesboro. Last I know of her.
Mike.
Rebecca Filger's sister passed away. Sister-in-law, Mark's sister, passed away. Her name was Sandra Rucker. And it's Ventura. And make a contact with Rebecca and Mark if you can.
Anyone else? Liz. If anyone else has prayer requests and you'd like to write them on the index cards in the pew in front of you, you can drop them in the offering plate. Yes? Anyone else? At this time, we would like to pause for a moment of silent prayer in our preparation for worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Call to worship this morning is printed in your bulletin. It is responsive. Please join with me. I am the way and the truth and the life, says the Lord.
No one comes to the Father except through me.
I am the vine, you are the branches, says the Lord.
Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit.
Jesus said, I give you a new commandment.
That you love one another.
Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another.
Let's all stand, turning our hymnals to hymn 59. I sing the mighty power of God.
I sing the mighty power of God that made all mountains rise, that fed the roaring seas abroad and filled all of the sky. I sing the wisdom that ordained the good to grow the day. The moon shines full at His command and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with good. He forms the creatures with His word and they pronounce them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed wherever I turn my eye. If I survey the crowd I spread or gaze upon the sky, there's
bow your heads and may we pray together, beginning with reflecting on God's power. God's might, who God is. And the first we know about Him is He created. God the Creator spoke, and it came into existence. The world, the universe, formed us from dust. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we can't even comprehend Your power. Lord, Moses prayed for it, for You to reveal Your glory to him, but You knew that he couldn't stand it. He only got a glimpse of Your glory. But Lord, we come this morning just thanking You and praising You. Glorious God, Creator of the universe, our Maker, we come as Your people. Lord God, we thank You that You've called us to be Your servants, workers in Your kingdom, participants in Your world. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for this time that we can come and offer our meager praise to You. Lord, we know that You desire it. We come to express our dependence on You. We come to express our faith in You. We come to listen to Your Word as it speaks to us. We come to give of ourselves for the advancement of Your kingdom. Lord, we come to be prepared a little more for entrance into that eternity. Thank You. We offer ourselves in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And you may be seated.
We express our faith in God through the Apostles' Creed. It's number 716 in the back of your hymnal. It's also projected behind me. Please join me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The call to confession this morning comes from 1 John 1, verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Please confess in unison with me. Merciful God, We confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness also comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us now turn in our hymnals to hymn 112. It's really just a chorus. Let's do that three times. Think about those words. Think about Jesus as we sing.
Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us.
This time we'd like to recognize our mothers. Deborah's going to come forward.
Happy Mother's Day to all you ladies. Whether you're a mother or not, some of you have shared motherly experiences. So I'm going to ask Anna, Catherine, and Elizabeth to meet Travis back in the back. And they're going to have some books that they're going to pass out to all the ladies in the congregation. And a bit scared on this thing, but you heard a bit in the loft. Okay. While they're doing that, I'm going to read this that is in the bulletin about mothers. I don't know if they did it the first service, but I'm going to do it now. What an awesome toll of love to womankind is given. To point small souls to God, to guide young feet toward heaven. God sent His only begotten Son in human form on on day. A warm and tiny bundle in Mary's arms to lay. 'Twas God's purpose and His plan that the mother love should come, should comfort man. That every child on earth might know God's love and guidance here below. That Jesus died to save from sin, that little hearts be pure within. Bespoken by spoken word and gentle touch, by loving arms that mean so much. A glimpse of God's own tender love should cause each mother's heart to move. Though some are mothers, some are not. Each woman has her given spot, guardian, counselor, teacher, friend, that mother love should know no end. O mother hearts, reach out today, turn to Christ, have faith and pray. Okay, if you did not get one, raise your hand. And Hannah's going to get these up here on the front and give them out to the ladies in the choir loft. Hannah's telling me to let her do it. If you did not get one, raise your hand. Travis, you're letting me down. Give out some more books, and they need to go over here. Okay, what about over here? Is there some ladies that still don't have one? Or does everybody have one now? Okay. Well, happy Mother's Day. And I hope it's a good one. Thank you.
We have a responsive reading. It's number 663 in the back of your hymnal. Please join me. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church.
For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones.
For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.
This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church.
Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise,
that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth.
And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training as a need.
It's children's time now with Miss Andrea. If the children would please come forward.
Girl. April 29th at 657, Joyce Kathleen's house was born, and I became a grandma. So, you know, I had a teacher from my friend Julie that said every time a child is born, so is a grandma. And so I have some t-shirts that I can wear now because I am a grandma now. So I brought some pictures.
If you knew I would, I almost self-respecting grandma would show up without pictures.
And I can story tell you a story this morning. I thought this would be good for Mother's Day. But my little girl became a mother. But anyway, this is her and her husband when they started, came to the hospital to have Joyce Kathleen. And this is Lori looking all different with her makeup on, with her mom, of course, so went into labor. Didn't quite look like that after today. This is James with his mom and dad. There's Lori with her doctor. And he was all still ready to do what he had to do. There's everybody waiting for Joyce Kathleen in the waiting room. There were 23 of us waiting in the waiting room. It was on a Saturday. They don't normally deliver babies on Saturday, but Lori's doctor was going to be out of town, so he agreed to induce her on Saturday. And so she had all the nurses to herself, and we had to wait in there to take heaven, solved ourselves, because we were kind of a little overwhelmed if there's anybody else there. Grandma and granddaddy, grandma and granddaddy now, waiting for Joyce Kathleen, and there she is. That's before she was all cleaned up and everything. She looked like a Louie Bear. And then there she is, all cleaned up and bundled up. Little Joyce Kathleen. There's grandma. Hey, let me show you grandpa over here. There's grandpa over here. And then there's lots of other pictures. That's Joyce Kathleen going home from the hospital. So we get to go home and everything is doing great. And so this is a real special Mother's Day for me because my little girl is now a mother. And she not only made me a grandma, but she made my mom, who is here, a great grandma. So Joyce Kathleen did a lot of things when she showed up in the world. Well, I just wanted to say, you know, I appreciate so much. The support and prayers and everything that you all gave to Lori and that her whole family and little Joyce Kathleen before she got here, after she got here, and continue to give her. And that's what it's all about. And that's our job as a mom, is to pass on the fact that when we bring our children up, it begins to be tough. And as long as we do that, we're going to be doing okay as a mom. We're going to have a rough spot, all of us. Well, you know, sometimes you all will do exactly what you want for, sometimes you won't. But you know what? As long as they bring you, and you should say thank you, Mom, thank you, Grandma, thank you, whoever brought you to church this morning, because they're doing an absolute best of the victory in giving you the gift of God. And this is the Bible I carried when I got married. Lori used it too when she got married, and the lady that gave me this Bible to help plan my wedding marked this verse for me. Proverbs 31, and it says, who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Now, I'm going to read all of this, but I'm going to flip over here to verse 28. It says, her children arise up and call for blessings, her husband also in his place. Thank you.
We express our thanks to God through our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sense today comes from Hebrews. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Will the ushers please come forward?
Thank you.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from Exodus, Psalms, and John. From Exodus 15, "Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your right hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling." From Psalms 29, "Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare, and in His temples all cry, Glory. And from John 12, Jesus replied, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Again, if you will, please turn in your hymnals to hymn 72. We will glorify the King of Kings.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am.
Glorifying God. What do we know about that? How are we at glorifying God? What are we doing to make sure that we are glorifying God? I want us to think this morning more about glorifying God. If you notice, the music was so pointed in that direction. The scripture lessons were pointed in that direction, that we bring glory to God. It might have been a call to glorify God, but hopefully it was an opportunity to join in glorifying God. Moses did it. David did it. Jesus did it, among others. They gave glory to God. Look at the lessons, if you will, from Exodus. We see Moses. He begins in this passage, who among the gods, we call it a little g, the many gods that the people of his day claim to have, we have many gods today that people claim to be gods, who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you? Who else is majestic in holiness? Who is awesome in His glory? Who works such wonders? The answer is, there is no one. The obvious answer to me. A lot of questions in the Bible where the answer is so obvious. Moses was saying to God, God, there is no one else like You. He speaks in verse 12 of God doing a great thing, not such, we wouldn't say it's such a nice thing. The people rebelled against God, and God just opened the earth up and swallowed them. That taught the rest of them that didn't get swallowed a lesson, didn't it? Kind of like when John Wagner used to talk about this school teacher he had. He said the teacher would walk up and slap him and point to the boy next to him and say, if you do it again, you'll get the same thing. That came from you, didn't it, John? Oh, Papa. God just opened the earth up. People rebelled, and God just opened the earth up. I think God was more just than that teacher. He got the ones that deserved it, though. Swallowed them up. And then Moses continued, in your unfailing love. He doesn't stop just talking about God's judgment. In your unfailing love, because even in God's judgment, there was love. You will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Well, these people that Moses was dealing with, and he was talking to God about, they were on their way from Egypt to Canaan, the promised land, the land full of milk and honey. We're on our way from our Egypt, from our freedom from slavery to sin, to an eternity with God in a place we call heaven. And God will guide us as He guided the Israelites. They kept rebelling and He kept guiding. He'd have to take care of a few of them, but He kept on, kept His promise. He got them to that land. The psalmist, David, wrote in Psalm 29, among other places, but this particular one, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty one. So he is calling to mighty people who may have thought that they were self-sufficient. And I said may, but they were mighty ones. At least he thought they were mighty ones. They probably thought they were mighty ones. But he said, you who are even mighty, at least in your own mind, and I'm injecting that part, at least in their own mind. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. God is due glory. His name is due glory. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Holiness. Different. Set apart. Not of this earth. Not common. High and lifted up. That's what holiness is. Then the psalmist tells some things that God has done. And it shows His power and His strength. Who He is, His might. Some people would argue with this, but as you read these verses, it talks, at least to me, it talks about God even sending earthquakes, or being in control of earthquakes, and tornadoes, and straight line winds. Some say it wasn't a twister, it's just a straight line, tough wind. Him even making whole nations, like Lebanon, skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. I'm going to say this much. When it starts lightning, I'm very much more attuned to God. I had one friend, he was in college, he was a smart aleck college ministerial student, sitting in his office, or sitting in his dorm room studying. Maybe studying. That's his story anyway. And right outside the window on the tennis court, lightning struck, and he looked up and attributed to God and said to God, bet you can't do it again. And God did it again, or it happened again. And he said, yes, sir, the next time. He humbled himself very rapidly. He tells that story 40 years later with much humbleness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory, the God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. And this spring, haven't we seen much thunder and much lightning? That new office has a window in it without a blind over it. The storm came a few days ago or a couple of weeks ago, and I was there in the office just viewing out that window. I kind of wish I had a blind over that. Don't put one up. It's pretty most days. But it was the lightning. Somebody told me the lightning didn't come from up, down. It came from down, up. I don't know. I'll have to study that one a little more. I have to understand it, and probably still won't understand it. The voice of the Lord is powerful. What? God spoke? Creation happened. And He took a little dust and made us. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. I wonder if some of those people in Gallatin a few weeks ago or in New Orleans, Mississippi and Alabama Gulf Coast a few months ago thought about the Lord's doings when the wind was coming, the floods were rising, etc., etc. Then John, to look at the lesson, to see something about God's power and what the Bible says, Jesus is about to go to the cross. He knows He is. He has already raised Lazarus from the dead. That's in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of John. And we're in the 12th chapter now. And He knows He's going to the cross. He meets with the disciples in chapter 13. He prays that high priestly prayer in chapter 14. He gives us such a comforting passage. Well, in chapter 14 and chapter 15, two chapters of encouragement, preparing a place for us, staying attached to Him, the call, the challenge to stay attached to Him so we can bear much fruit, etc., etc. And then we find chapter 12. And this passage, He begins to talk to the people, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Jesus being glorified. There's no question in my mind that Jesus is God in the flesh. So when we talk about glorifying Jesus, we're also talking about glorifying God. And he talks about He's going to be glorified through His death. Through His death on Calvary's cross. And He says, my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Shall I ask You, Father, to save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify Your name. Jesus is about to go to the cross to glorify the name of God the Father. And then a voice came from heaven. Scared the people. They didn't know what to think about it. They were confused. They even argued over it or discussed where it came from or what it was. But the voice came from heaven saying, I have glorified it. And will glorify it again. All the crowd heard was thunder, or that's what it sounded like to some of them. The crowd that was there and heard it said it thundered, but some thought an angel had spoken. Matter of interpretation, I guess, huh? To them, to Jesus, it was the voice. To the disciples, it was the speaking of God, God the Father. And then Jesus says, the voice was for your benefit, not mine. God glorified His own name. God wants us to glorify Him. It's God's goal to have His name glorified. God wants to be glorified. What does God want? He wants us to serve Him. He wants us to honor Him. What does God want? God wants us to glorify Him. God wants to be glorified by His creation, just like a mother wants to be glorified by her children. She don't want to be shamed by them, does she? Is any mother here that wants their children to shame them? And any son or daughter worth their salt wants to glorify their mother, do they not? Yes, they do. We need to glorify God. God wants to be glorified. We need to glorify Him. It's in our makeup. He made us this way to glorify Him. It's for our benefit. What did Jesus say here? The voice was for your benefit, not mine. We need to glorify God. What are we talking about when we talk about glorify? I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but let me reiterate. To bestow glory, to bestow honor or praise upon someone, and in this case, upon God. To bestow, to glorify means to bestow glory upon someone. Glory, when we give somebody glory, we give them a high honor. In the movie world, what? It's Oscars. Then we hear about the Emmys. And what's the rest of them? There are many awards given. And soldiers, some of them get an award. What awards do soldiers get? Somebody, some soldier who got an award. What was that? A high honor. Congressional Medal of Honor. That's one of the highest ones. Is that right? Then the Purple Heart. Is that when they die? Injured in combat. Purple Heart. Bronze Star. Good conduct. Because they're good. A high honor upon them. And we don't just give them just to anybody. We honor those who deserve honor. God. Maybe we got that from God. Honoring God. To show adoration. Show that we adore. Oh, I adore you, O Lord, our God. It's offering praise. In a simple term, somebody said, what is praise? And a simple term is just bragging on God. Praising God. We praise somebody, we brag on them. And we don't tell things that are not true. We tell the truth about somebody. The good things about them. Go to a funeral. What do? We recognize the goodness, the legacy that these people have left behind. Well, I did have one preacher friend that preached a church member's funeral, and he didn't say such good things about him. When the next member of that family died, they said, you're not going to preach this member's funeral. And I won't even tell you what he said. It's not repeatable, especially from the pulpit. Glory. Max Lucado. I have learned to read Max. It took me about 3 books before I could read him. And when I finally learned to read it, read what he had written, it is so beautiful. It finally took with me. And I've said this before, I think. He has a way with words. He just says words, puts words in such a manner. So I read his little book, It's Not About Me. And I read it, and I'm reading it again. And I said, need to share that with the congregation to let them know, I know it's not about me. Though sometimes I may act that way, it's not about me. It's about God. The church is about God and His kingdom. It's about Jesus Christ. Folks, it's not about you either. I want you to know that. Though I may act that way sometimes. Part of the time I act like it's about me, and part of the time I act like it's about you, but it's really about God. And God alone. Okay? Now, we don't hurt one another, or try not to. But Max has a way with words, and in this book he says it so beautifully. He says, he speaks of God having a staff meeting. I believe that's in my in my notes. Incidentally, Isaiah 44, that should be Isaiah 43. Isaiah 4 should be 43. I made some mistakes in my typing last week and made some this week too in my notes. Okay. Max Lucado writes about God's staff meeting. And that, you have to imagine this. Does God even have a staff meeting? He calls all the angels together. Imagine this, if you will. He calls the angels together to start the day. God never sleeps, right? So He's been awake all night watching over us. Those angels probably had to sleep. I don't know much about angels. Never been called angel very often. Can't ever remember it, really. But He calls the angels together. Thank you. And He has a staff meeting. He has a staff meeting with His angels, okay? And he says that this staff meeting, Lucado says that this staff meeting revolves around one question. How can we reveal my glory today? Angels, how can you reveal my glory? That's what God says to them. How do we reveal God's glory?
Makata goes on to say that God's to-do list. Who has a to-do list? Any of you have a to-do list? I've written them down, but I lose them. Then I started writing them on my hand, and I washed my hand, and it came off. So anyhow, God's to-do list. He says that God's to-do list consists of one item. Reveal my glory. God wants to reveal His glory. He said if the angels had in their break room, the angels take a break, I guess. He points out if angels had in their break room God's purpose statement. What is God's purpose? Said if it hangs, the one that hangs in the angels' break room, if there was such, just above the angel food cake, reads, declare God's glory. Declare God's glory. Tell the world how glorious God is. Tell all of creation how glorious God is. And Lakato says that God exists to showcase God. Or God exists to present Himself. He told Moses, by those who come near me, I must be regarded as holy. If we go into the presence of God, we will regard Him as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. That's Leviticus 10:3. How many times have you asked the question, why did God harden Pharaoh's heart? And was God not quite unfair when He hardened Pharaoh's heart? I'm not going to call Him unfair. I have too much respect for Him. I think God knew what He was doing. I haven't understood, because I can't give an answer to why God hardened Pharaoh's heart, except to say, God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue the Israelites, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. When God got through with Pharaoh, what are you saying? When God got through with Pharaoh, Pharaoh's subjects would know who God was. So it was for God's glory. So the Egyptians would know who God was. Now Pharaoh didn't start out being good. He started out being tough and mean. See, the rebellion was, or the pleas for release were, because they were so hard on the Israelites. But it was for His glory, God's glory, that He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Back in Exodus chapter 14, why do the heavens exist? The Bible says in Psalm 19, the heavens exist. The heavens declare the glory of God. What do you see when you look into the sky, to the clouds? What do you see when you see those black clouds? And we've had our share of them this week. What do you see when you see those beautiful, soft, floating clouds? They declare the glory of God. Look at them the next time and say, that's God's glory being revealed. Be they black or white. Be they blue or gray. They all reveal God's glory. Why did God choose the Israelites? The Israelites were not a better people than anybody else. But God chose the Israelites maybe because He saw in them, but because they would. Everyone who is called by my name, He spoke through Isaiah, whom I have created for my glory. God chose the Israelites and called them His people so that they would give Him glory. In Psalm 50, He even says, trust me in your times of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me the glory. In Isaiah 43, He spoke of His people that He had formed for Himself. They shall declare my praise, God said. And the prophet Isaiah in chapter 63, he said to God, you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Jesus, He fits into this too. We've already said that, but look again. He taught us to make God's reputation our priority. In prayer, He taught us to do it. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. Locano points out that every act of heaven reveals God's glory. Every act of Jesus revealed God's glory. Read them. Read the action of Jesus. It was for the glory of God. The Son, according to the Hebrew writer, the Son, S-O-N, Jesus, reflects the glory of God. We spoke already of the night before the crucifixion. Jesus declared, "My heart is troubled. What shall I say? Shall I say, save me from this hour?" No. Jesus didn't want to be saved from it. He wanted to be, but he knew he needed more to give glory. So it was for this very reason that I came to this hour to glorify your name. Father, glorify your name. Paul explained in Romans chapter 15 that Christ has become a servant of the Jews so that the Gentiles may glorify God for His mercy. And then in John chapter 17, that high priestly prayer, the 17th chapter of John, the whole chapter is this prayer. In the 4th verse, Jesus prays to God the Father, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." It is finished, they sang for us. He completed the work, provided salvation through His death on the cross. And He said, "I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." Isaiah said it, the Message. How many have a copy of the Message? It's a modern 4 or 5 year old, 6 or 7 year old translation of the Bible. Just says the Message. I believe it doesn't even have the verses enumerated. It has the chapters, the books and the chapters broken down, but the verses, I think that's the one that doesn't have the verses enumerated. But in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 11, God expresses one goal: keeping His reputation up. "I have my reputation to keep up." Now someone might say, why would God be so interested in keeping His reputation up? And why should we be interested in God keeping His reputation up? Locato used the example of a captain of a lifeboat. He said, if we were on a sinking ship and the ship was going down and there was a lifeboat coming to us, we certainly would not want the captain of the lifeboat to be as quiet as he could be and slip up beside the sinking ship that we were on and never let us know that he was there. He said, if we were in the water and maybe going down for the third time, we always go down 3 times, don't we? Up. Okay, that's what I've heard. I don't want to try it, though. Anybody tried that yet? Okay. He said, if we were in the water, we were sinking. And that lifeboat was, 20 feet away maybe. But it was dark. And we couldn't see. We were about to drown. Would we want that lifeboat captain to be quiet and sneak away from us? No. We'd want him to scream out, "Here I am! Here I am! I'm coming after you! I've got a life raft! You can get on! Here's the rope! We'll save you." And like that, captain, that we desire that he let himself be known, that he makes us aware that he is strong and that he is there willing to help us and that he is able to help us, that he is able to save us from drowning. God is that way. God is available. God is near. And God is able to save us from sin and save us unto heaven eternally. So we need Him. We need Him to promote Himself. We need Him to make Himself known. And we who have heard and believe because somebody else made God known to us, we need to make Him known to someone else. So God has said to His people, make me known. Make me known. Glorify me. Brag on me. Talk about me. Always telling the truth. Tell nothing that God can't do. Give Him no credit for what He hasn't done. But is there anything too hard for God? He can do anything. We need to make the world to know that God can help us. It's all about Him. It's not about us. The song is 103. And it's really not an invitation song unless you see this morning that I want to give myself to this God who is able to save me eternally. If that's your need this morning, this is an invitation song. But let's all stand together and let's all join in singing this hymn of praise and adoration. How blessed is the name of that Son of God, who is God in the flesh, who came to save us. Let's proclaim it to one another, but also take it out into the world. You know, it's all volunteer, but He asks us to do it. It's all an opportunity, but He invites us to do it. 103, all three verses. Number 316 has about 10 of them. Number 7 says this, and it fits so beautifully today. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ. Amen.